Genesis chapter 43, the New International Version. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought back from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, 'Bring your brother down here'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift, a little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved." So the men took the gifts and double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house. Slaughter an animal and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon." The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, "We were brought back here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys." So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. "We beg your pardon, our lord," they said. "We came down here the first time to buy food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks." "It is all right," he said. "Do not be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver." Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out, controlling himself, said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good, bud. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just maybe the best I've ever been, Daniel. We got out of the Christmas season. It's the new year, 2020. And let me tell you, speaking of perfect vision, I've got it for America, baby. I'm running for president.
You running for president?
Yeah, I'm starting my campaign now. Well, the most you're allowed to donate to my campaign is 30 cents.
Oh, okay.
So the only way I get the big dollars is if everybody in America donates to my campaign.
Well, it's, you know, you're in luck because everybody in America listens to this podcast. So you're gonna, maybe you'll get some donors.
I would say that's true. If you don't listen to this podcast, you're maybe not an American. You're probably not an American.
Yeah, you're definitely not American. Or you're two listeners that we have in Ireland.
Oh, do we have some Irish listeners?
We have at least two people who have listened to the podcast in Ireland before.
Well, I'm going to assume they're better people than us because they're in Ireland, and I like to pretend that everyone in Ireland is nice and cool. And so they got out after hearing that one episode.
Hey, I had an idea the other day.
Oh, great.
So why has someone, because, you know, people joke around, like Joe Rogan is someone who's famous for saying that he thinks that the presidency is a stupid job. Like, no one person can do that job. And no one person really even does the job. They have like a, they pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's a dipshit. Yeah. What does that mean, Joe Rogan?
I don't know. I'm just trying to pull. What I'm saying is, has anybody ever, and I don't think they have, but has anybody ever been like, hey, I'm running for president, but you're really voting for these like 15 people who are like, this is my education advisor. This is my finance advisor. And this is my so-and-so. And it's like, I got a smart person for every problem.
No way. No, the American people won't even be politically engaged enough to actually know who the candidate is they're voting for. You know, they're not going to research any policy. They're sure as hell not going to research 15 people.
Yeah, they're like, there's no way that they're, or, I mean, they can make it easy, like Donald Trump pulled a lot of people in saying, he's like, we're going to have the best of this and the best of that, and you know, he just said he was going to have the best. So maybe if you just say you have the smartest people, everyone will just believe you.
Yeah, I mean, politics is mostly about lying.
Yeah.
And hyping yourself. But I'll tell you what I want. I want a live stream president. I want a president who is on live stream like 15 hours a day. That's part of the campaign, all the way through the campaign. Just like, well, you really know what I'm doing. Total transparency, unless I'm dealing with confidential documents. And you can donate to the chat to have, you know, I'll enforce your opinions.
So could you imagine? The president is sitting there like, I don't know what, reading. I heard Barack Obama had to read like 5 hours of briefings a day. Like, or I mean, probably not five, but something insane. Like, you know, just so much information you had to take in.
five hours of briefings a day.
I mean, like, you just imagine how many things you have to be briefed on as a president every day if you're like a good one, you know. Hey,
the only briefs I want to see of Obama's are his boxer briefs.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably packing like a mean 8.5. You know, like a big old 8.5. But
wait, is there such thing as a small 8.5?
No, I'm talking like girth, like
a very skinny.
It's like anyways. But what I'm saying is like someone sitting there reading, doing their work, and then you hear a ding, and they have to be like, ah, Poochie 227, thank you for that donation.
Poochie 227 is a Russian bot.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people in political power, Daniel, Joseph still ruling the land in Genesis 43.
Yeah, this I like to call it Genesis 43. It's a Joseph lays it on thick. I think that's what it should be called. Joseph lays it on thick.
Well, that tells me that you haven't read ahead as far as I have, because you got to leave some room for him to lay it on thicker and thicker.
Okay. This one's a crazy one, right? I mean, well, it's not too crazy, but it's like, well, for one, the kids already eat up all the food and all the family's food that they got the first time. So they're two brothers down, or, you know, counting Joseph, and his dad's real sad. And he's like, go get us some more food. And they repeat it, and then like they argue over it, everything. And then they repeat stuff a handful of times.
Well, let me give a brief summary of where we are in relation to this story.
Yeah.
So Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph becomes basically the Pharaoh of Egypt. The Pharaoh is still the Pharaoh, but he does all the pharaohing. He saved the land from famine. His brothers, who sold him into slavery, came and got grain from Egypt. And he took one of their brothers hostage.
Simeon, I believe.
So he took Simeon hostage and sent them back to the land of his father with grain and also silver. They were supposed to buy the grain, but he sent them back with the silver in their bags. Mm-hmm. And they were freaked out about it. And he was like, don't come back here unless you bring Benjamin, who is his full-blooded brother who he's never met, I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he has met him. It's just been a long time.
Yeah, it seems like he would, unless we went back and saw that he had him in. But Jacob would have, or Israel would have had to have had him in old age, because he's been an old man for a while. But I mean, Jacob or Israel, he hates his kids. Like, he hates this group of sons he has.
Like, why do you say that?
It's just like they've caused him so much trouble, and every time he has a conversation with them, he brings up how much woe they bring him. Just like,
that's true.
Like how bothered they are. Bothered he is by them.
So most of this chapter is just the brothers trying to get his permission to take Benjamin, because they need food and they're dying. And he's like, all right, bring him a bunch of nice stuff as well. And bring the silver that you had. Take that back, because don't want to get in trouble. At one point, though, he says, as for me, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. So, like, he is like, I'm going to die. But he's like, well, as for what I'm going to do to aid the story, well, if my son dies, my son dies. Yeah. I guess that's...
he's like that grandma. Every now and again, I hear these stories about someone's grandma who's maybe, or great-grandma who's a little bit older, and if... And like, say you walk into their house and like, hey, how you doing, grandma? And she says, oh, the Lord. They'll say something like, oh, the Lord, he just won't take me. He just won't take me yet. You know, they're always just like, they're just wishing that the Lord would take them. You know,
wait, this is someone you've encountered this kind of person in different places.
I heard that story from multiple people in the South of their grandmothers. You know, they're just old and their hands hurt, and they just, you know, they just want the Lord to take them, you know. And I think Israel wants the Lord to take them.
Hey, suicide by choice, you know. I'm pro that.
So
let your grandmas die, people.
So
if they're ready to go.
Yeah, just let them go. If they can't make, you know, good potato salad anymore, let them go. You know. So they go back and forth a bunch of times about, you know, we need more grain, but they're like, but hey, we got to take our brother with us this time. And then Israel's like, no, you can't take the brother, because I'll be so sad. And then Judah finally says, listen, let me take the kid with me. I'll go get the grain. I'll take all the silvers or whatever. And if he doesn't come back, you can complain for the rest of my life.
And Jacob is like, deal.
He's like, that's, great. That's my favorite thing to do.
That's what I really wanted all along.
And I love how Judah throws in there, like, if you would have just agreed before, we could have gone there and come back already. So yeah. We don't want to have yeah. the fucking food. Yeah, old man. Oh, and then also something I noticed Israel throws in there says to take some pistachios and almonds.
Yeah, they're growing pistachios and almonds out there. That's a lot better than grain.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems they. I mean, if they were really dedicated, maybe they could live a little longer on those pistachio and almonds.
They're trading protein and fat for simple carbohydrates.
Yeah, empty calories, they say.
Daniel, before I forget, something I want you to be on watch for is if I say seemingly or mm-hmm. probably on this podcast one more time, it's over. I'm done.
Somebody has, this is, you know what this is? I'm going to let everybody in. I'm going to break the fourth wall a little bit. Adam has edited too many of the podcasts in a row. And I think that, you know, that's kind of where you're getting wore thin on your own voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, I already was. It's not getting better, Daniel. We need a producer. All y'all producers out there, you can listen. You can edit out instances of me saying probably. I can't even pronounce probably because my lips are all loose and floppy. I got these sad floppers, and they get in the way of my speech. And the inside of my mouth is too small. It's like
what?
It gets all stuck together.
Who hates themselves so much that they think the inside of their mouth is too small?
Well, I make a lot of people think the inside of their mouth is too small. I think that was a joke about a lot of people sucking my dick on our Bible podcast. Cut that out, producer.
Yeah, producer, cut that out. Why don't we just tell Paulette we'll give her $50 a month?
Because she's smarter than that. You fucking jerk. $50 a month.
She'd come back and be like, no, how about $50 a podcast?
You think that wonderful woman deserves $50 a month?
I don't know.
For
I was
dealing
just,
with all this trash.
Listen, I thought she may like to do it just so that you would be a little bit happier. I thought like $50 a month and Adam won't be so sad.
No, I'm very much like Israel. I just want to complain for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So
he sends them along with double silver, and they go and talk to Joseph.
And Joseph gets to his games right away.
Yeah, he starts fooling with them.
And it's interesting to me that he is essentially the Pharaoh of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they think he's trying to trick him out of their donkeys.
Yeah, he's like... They're like, look, we shouldn't go there because he's going to make us slaves. And on top of being sold into slavery, we're going to lose our donkeys.
The Pharaoh of Egypt is jealous of our beans and donkeys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in Canaan, maybe they have the greatest donkeys, you know. They have the best donkeys. Do you know something? I did a little bit of research on this one, Adam.
Oh, boy.
But... they walk in there, right, and they got their silver, and they're going to see Joseph. He's like, we got the brother, and they bow down to Joseph. And there's a little link in the Quest Bible, and Joseph actually predicted this. So if you think way back when to what or how this all kind of originally started, Joseph tells his brothers that he had a dream. And in the dream, it's one of these weird dreams the Bible comes up with, like, in the dream, he is a corn stalk or grain stalk, and he grows
higher.
Yeah,
all the other grain stalks are bowing down to him. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and now they are bowing down to Joseph. So it's kind of crazy this him predicting his dream started their anger towards him, which made this whole saga.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, so now... now they're bowing down to him, and he wants to bring them to dinner now. So,
well, he gives them back their silver and stuff, right? Or he's like, don't worry about the extra silver. You're all good.
Mm-hmm.
That was your God, which is a lie.
Yeah.
He's a lying about the will of God. And, yeah, he wants them to have a fancy dinner.
And does the chapter just end with them saying he's going to take them to a fancy dinner?
No, not my version.
Oh, hold on, I got to see it. Okay, no, it goes into a weird. Well, he brings them in and they talk a little bit, and Joseph goes. He starts to weep and he goes into the crying room. He goes into, or at least that's
well,
what
he
my
sees
family
Benjamin.
Called.
He sees Benjamin, the brother he wanted to see, and he's by you know the son of his own mother and father. And, yeah, he has to run out and weep somewhere.
Yeah, he gets a little teary-eyed, which when we were kids and we would go to my grandfather's house and, you know, a child got a little weepy, say, he would yell at us and tell us to go into the crying room, which was just a room adjacent to the living room. But we,
oh man,
we weren't allowed to just be crying in a room. He's like, if you're gonna cry, you go to the crying room, and then we would just be left in the room alone. Until
the
we...
man, your granddad is so evil. There's a room in his house devoted to his family members crying.
Well, to children, you know. So like, not necessarily. It's not necessarily we got a bunch of Josephs around, you know.
Sorry, I'm typing the crying room to make sure that that's not like a Victorian thing. Oh, here we go. Cry room. Wikipedia. A cry room or crying room is a space designed for people to take babies or small children for the privacy to reduce the disturbance of others. Usually found in churches, theaters, and cinemas.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Kind of like a Madman era thing that you don't see anymore, but do you remember or have you ever heard of there being like couches and things inside of women's bathrooms?
I mean, I haven't been in a lot of women's bathrooms, so it would not surprise me.
Well, years ago I worked in a government building in Arkansas.
Oh, and there were just a bunch of couches in there so they could sit around and gossip.
I think the concept was, and this was an old building from like the 70s, is that if while they're on their monthly period, they could go in there and rest.
Their monthly period. Daniel.
I was trying to, the reason I said monthly period is I couldn't come up with a funny joke for periods.
Man, wouldn't that be nice? You can just go sit in a stinky ass Arkansas government bathroom. and then later they're like, see, this is why you get paid 50 cents on the dollar. You got a couch next to the shitter.
Yeah. So, all right, since we're done talking about periods, they do a weird thing about how they line up at the table. There's like a thing about that.
Yeah, they eat separately. The Egyptians don't want to eat with the Hebrews because it's detestable to them.
Yeah.
You looked that up?
Yeah, I looked that one up because I wanted to know, because we know the Quest Bible deals with racism only in the most, you know, understandable of terms.
Oh, man.
But they say that it's not that the Egyptians found them detestable. It's that the Hebrews worshipped a different god, and it's against the rules to eat with people who worship other gods, which to
yeah,
me
okay.
just seems like you're finding them detestable.
Yeah, that's thanks, yeah. Quest Bible.
It's like, thanks a lot, Quest Bible.
The most interesting thing to me, though, is that Benjamin gets five times as much food as everyone yeah. else.
Well, because he's
this family loves favoritism.
Yeah,
they are all about it.
Well, and again, I went to the Quest Bible to see what's going on there, and they claim with not a whole lot of, I mean, there's kind of some a little bit of text to back this up, but they claim that Joseph is testing his brothers to see if he's going to become jealous that Benjamin is getting the most, and also that Benjamin's a real brother. I mean, they also say that, but he's trying to see if he can get a rise out of Judah. Yeah, Judah's with him. Well, Simeon at this point is with him too.
Well, yeah, Joseph likes to play games. That's for sure.
He's a game player. Well, this is the reason why, you know, he's gotten to the level of power that he's at because he's good at doing things. Like, he's a smart man, but horrible at making friends, you know.
Is he a smart? I'm still not convinced he's a smart man. At least from the Bible's perspective, everything good that's happened to him is because he's blessed by God.
Yeah, that is true. So he could just be running on God's on God's time.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, do you want to give this chapter a rating?
Yeah. I feel all rusty. I mean, we haven't recorded one of these in a while.
Yeah, and also we desperately need a guest.
Yeah. Hey, we've had a lot of great conversation. I've had fun with you today.
Thanks. Me too, Daniel. Like I said at the beginning, I'm doing the best I've ever been. This is a great episode.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, also, that you know what? I am feeling generous today because I think that we have gotten spoiled because, you know, if you think before, the stories have been real boring, but the Bible is kind of on its game. We're wrapping up this book. We're about to enter a new book. And I think the story's getting kind of silly and fun. So I'm giving this one a solid 4. I like it.
Whoa.
Yeah, this one's fun times. And it's only going to get better. I'm going to force us to have fun.
I'm giving it 1 star.
You son of a bitch.
Listen, it does the thing where it repeats stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I don't learn a whole lot. You know what? Fine. It deserves a 3. This is at least a 3-star chapter. I can't pretend it's not.
It's cool. There's some brother fighting. The story even gets even better in the next chapter. I like it, man. I think we're moving and shaking in this Bible.
That's right. If you want to move or shake us in a different direction, you can send us suggestions to hostedpod@gmail.com. You can catch us on Instagram @hostedpod on Instagram. You can go to twitch.tv/hostedpod for all sorts of great content like Beating the Devil with Daniel. That's the same Daniel who's on this show.
Yeah.
And Lightning Hot with Schaefer Bourne. And I guess we'll be back next week to see how this unfolds. They're all still chilling at Joseph's place, right?
Yeah, it leaves us on a cliffhanger. They're just still there. They're just eating and feasting freely and drinking and fucking. Probably not fucking. I don't know.
I don't recall anything about that.
Just having a good time.
Just like all our listeners, yeah. Daniel. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.